Greg Pope, John Burton Show, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel in Goggin Cold Hall. John will be here by mid-afternoon. He's stuck in traffic on I-40. Oh, me. SEC Media Days, I guess the bombshell, Texas, Oklahoma, SEC bound, question mark. Ron Higgins has covered the SEC for decades. Memphis Commercial Appeal, he's the editor of Tiger Rag. At Ron Higg on Twitter. Ron, good morning. What's up, man?
Good morning, Pokey. How are you, man?
Doing good, man. Good talking to you again.
Yep, absolutely. What's going on, man?
Texas, Oklahoma. Smoke, fire, somewhere in between?
Yeah, I think it's somewhere in between, actually, yeah. I find it interesting. I think a lot of people, most people think it's for, you know, money purposes. I think one of the reasons that Oklahoma and Texas are going is that they have a better shot of contending for playoffs every year at SEC than they do in the Big 12 because they have a better strength of schedule in SEC. I mean, I know Oklahoma's been in the playoff four times, but they haven't won anything, really, I mean, lately. Texas hadn't got there. I think if you're in the SEC and you're near the top, you got a shot to get in the playoff every year, and I think that's not necessarily the case in the Big 12. So I think that's could be one reason. I know A&M didn't want them in because one reason A&M came in the SEC was to get away from Texas because they were insufferable. And they tried to run everything. Texas, if they come this league, they better realize they have one vote like everybody else. And that's the beauty of the SEC. You have one vote on everything like that, like everybody else in the league. It's probably what makes this league good. It's why this league this year won 9 national championships in 8 sports and all were by different schools. And I try to explain to people that the SEC is that because of revenue sharing in the SEC, everybody has a chance to be good in something. Every school has a chance to be good. There's maybe one sport that can be really, really good in and win a national championship in. And we'll see how this plays out. A&M and Texas had a chance to come to this league a long time ago, and Texas blocked it. And now they're trying to get in. Well, I find that interesting.
You know, and you look at Texas, of course, they've run the Big 12, Big 10 to Big 12, whatever, all the way back to the Southwest Conference days. And you're right. I mean, right now, Alabama's the big boy, and we know that. And then there's a lot of people trying to knock them off that pedestal that have along the way from time to time. The thing that, in my mind, I think this is obviously what you said about the chance for the playoffs, certainly the money pool and everything, but I also think they're looking down the road and these two schools are saying this is where it's headed. The NCAA, Mark Emmert's become Pontius Pilate when it comes to FBS football. It's going to be run by, it already is, but it's definitely going to be run by the schools. Don't you see that the group of the Power Five, rather, just sort of break off and become their own? And I think Texas and Oklahoma see that, and I think you're going to have more of this instead of less. What's the ACC going to do? What's the Big Ten going to do? Pac-12 just out there floundering, and whatever the Big Ten tells it to do, that's what it does. So it's interesting because I think this is a play for the future.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the traction for the SEC is that they always like to be first doing something. They like to be ahead of the game. I think Greg Sankey is pretty much stayed ahead of the game. I think it was, it was obvious last year the way the SEC handled the COVID situation that the SEC was ahead of the curve. They understood to start late. I mean, they rescheduled stuff. They're not going to do it this year. Which is not a bad idea, but. SEC only lost two games last year. After they went to the 10-game schedule, they lost two games that they weren't played, which was pretty amazing considering all the cancellations and schedule reshuffling they had. So I just think I think Sankey is ahead of the game on this. He's tried to be ahead of the game. He doesn't hesitate speaking his mind. He hadn't been particularly happy with the NCAA and a lot of stuff. And I do think it's headed to where the fact that the Power Five conferences are should have their own little universe. because they obviously have different budgets and just a whole different atmosphere and vibe than mid-majors.
Well, and they can coexist. And well, what is that going to do to the group of five? They're already playing the group of five in those guarantee money games anyway. Certainly FCS gets, you know, gets to get to the trough every once in a while too on those money games. But it's already split anyway. I mean, you'll have a Houston pop up, certainly Central Florida lately, you know, even a Liberty or a Coastal Carolina or Appy State, they'll bump up every once in a while. And maybe the playoff expansion will, you know, maybe appease that somewhat, but this thing is run by the Power Five, and I think even more so as we get going down the road.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of this stuff has been forced, you know, I mean, the Power Five have realized, you know, you do need NIL, and the Power Five kind of realized that the transfer rule was coming. I think all those things will be tweaked as they go along, like anything else. They've already tweaked the transfer rule to where you can only transfer once. And be immediately eligible. And I'm sure they'll tweak the NIL as it goes along. But I think that the Power Five realize you've got to do this. It's just the way it's progressed, the way it's transpired. And again, they live in a different world than mid majors. And they're tired of playing by mid major rules. They mean they're tired of being lumped into mid majors and mid major rules. I think the Texas Oklahoma thing, I think it's real and I think it's viable. There's too many. The people who report this stuff, I mean, they're too. I mean, they have street cred. This is not being thrown out there by anybody. I mean the people involved in reporting this have pretty good sources, and the fact that SEC hasn't denied anything when asked about it, they weren't denied. You know, they said they didn't want to comment, but they didn't deny it. Tells me that it could very much happen. How quickly? Who knows? Obviously, they'll have to, you know, figure out how to redo divisions or whatever they want to do with it. Will they do it geographically? I mean, will they have two divisions? Will they have, you know, what? No, I mean, how do you do that? Do you have two? You know, I mean, two 8-team divisions is kind of brutal. But then again, I mean, what do you do? Do you have like, NFL or NBA and go, you know, four divisions, you know, 4-4, 4-4? God, if they had two more teams, Pug, you'd be impressed. SEC media days might last a week.
Well, it already is 4 days now. I mean.
Yeah, you know, when they had the first one with the 14 teams, it was 3 days. And I remember going to Herb Vincent and saying, this is not a good idea. You need to spread to 4 days. And I said, it's just, you pile that many people in the 3 days, I mean, you just get brain fog. Everybody does. So I said, listen, if you go 4 days, I mean, the SEC network's going to love it. Give them an extra day of broadcasting. it's a show now at a Oklahoma and Texas be even bigger show, but it's a fascinating times we live in, man. You just think 10 years ago when college football was, or 20 years ago, and all the off the field peripheral stuff that coaches have to deal with now. I would not want to be head coach dealing with the image and likeness stuff. I just wouldn't. No coach could come out and say, they need to kind of take a look at this and you know make sure we got it under control. They all got to say, we're all for it. But deep down, they're all, a lot of them are wondering, how am I going to control this? I mean, how do I keep jealousy out of the locker room? How do I keep parents from calling me and saying, you know, my kid's got these deals, why isn't he playing more? I mean, that's the kind of stuff that coaches, you know, will never talk about, but they're definitely worried about.
Ron Higgins with us, editor of Tiger Rag, at Ron Higg, RONHIGG on Twitter. Great follow on Twitter, Ron Higg. Ron, let's talk a little bit about LSU. Ed Orgeron, not the kind of year they wanted last year, coming off the championship. Where is LSU right now? I know they've got some new pieces in place with the staff and everything. Will LSU be back? Let's just put it that quick and simply.
Yeah, they'll be back. Yeah, they last year, everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. you know, they had 15 players taken in the NFL draft. They start losing players with COVID who opted out, some of their best playmaker, their best defensive lineman. By the end of the season, LSU had lost 33 players off their 2019 team. 33. Their starting quarterback got hurt in the third game of the year, was out for the year. Two bad hires as coaches. That's Orgeron's fault. They rallied to go 5-5, beating Florida and Gainesville and Ole Miss at the end. They like what they have. They got their entire offensive and defensive linebacks. Got most of the defensive backfield back. They got two really good quarterbacks who could start for anybody in the league. They're back. They like what they have. They really do. The question mark for me is the coordinators they have haven't coordinated much at all in their careers. And that's the question mark. And to me, I think they have the personnel to be, you know, to be near the top of the West again. I mean, I could see them having a 10-2 season, 9-3 or worse. But that said, my question mark is, are these new coaches, can they handle the grind of the SEC and the challenge every week you face in the SEC? Would mean this is not an easy league. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Unless you've had experience in it, you don't understand it until you get in it. That's my only question mark. Are these new coordinators, can they handle what they're about to face?
You know, and you brought up NIL. How does it feel for Olivia Dunn to be a millionaire? The gymnast, it's crazy. I mean, just by pulling that one out, I know she was in New York at midnight and did some backflips at midnight when the NIL, on the very first moment it became legal. And you talk about a can of worms. There's going to have to be a federal. I'm not usually one to say, hey, the feds come in and because they could screw up a 2-car parade. But there's got to be some consistency state to state with this thing.
Yeah, it really does. And you know, the Olivia Dunn thing is interesting. She's not even close to being LSU's best gymnast. Not close. I mean, if you put the top five or six LSU gymnasts, she's not even in there. But yet, you know, she has the social media following. And you got to credit some of these football, like Saban yesterday. He's so slick, man. You know, kind of dropping the fact that, you know, his quarterback who hadn't played a down yet, I mean, a whole bunch in colleges, has almost $1 million worth of endorsements, you know, because of the Alabama brand. All right, that's the best recruiting tool ever. But yet, somebody's got to regulate this stuff. You get out of hand. I mean, it's already kind of gotten out of hand. I mean, you have a sponsor with a Texas Aggies and online, coverage in College Station. They cover A&M Athletics. Paying two players $10,000 each for exclusive rights for interviews for the season. I tell you right now, Pogi, I've been in this business a long time. I may be out of the business soon, but I'm not paying for a friggin' interview with a player. Okay? And if I do, it better be the best damned interview he ever gives. I don't want this, you know. Well, you know, we've really been working hard and. We have really good, you know, we're really together as a team. I don't want that crap. I want a $10,000 energy. I want you to tell me your life story. Tell me your secrets.
Craziness. Ron Higgins, you can follow him on Twitter. Ron, I can talk to you all day, but we're up against the break. Always good talking to you, man. Hope everything's going well down in Bayou country for you. And everybody can follow Ron. He's been covering the SEC since 83, 84?
Yeah. Actually, I came out of high school and I came out of college in 79. My first year covering the SEC was 79.
Wow. Right? Yeah, Ron, you're looking good, man. You're holding up.
I'm trying.
See you, man.
See you,
all right, Ron Higgins, the editor of Tiger Rag, has covered the SEC since 1979. Just